Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 15th of January, 2021. I'm Paul White, and I'm so happy you're with me. It's Friday. We're going to hold off on Long Form Friday again. Once again, we do have a podcast that we have on deck ready to air, but we're going to let it marinate a little bit, let that podcast get up off the ground do a little cross-promotion on one that we appeared on. I'll tell you about that. We may have that ready for you next week. We'll wait and see. In the meantime, I'm having a lot of fun with Isaiah 54, this follow-up chapter to the great Calvary chapter of 53. Because of what Jesus did, you get to sing. You get to break forth into song because the barren are going to have more children than the married woman. That's the Gentiles going to have more children than, I hate to say the Gentile than the Jew, but if we're breaking it down into Israel was the centerpiece of the old covenant, then those outside of that covenant are going to have more children. So a new covenant's going to bring in more children. Here's a connection I didn't make yesterday and should have. We were talking about husband, and we rounded that out by bringing that new covenant concept into Isaiah 54:5, where the creator is the husband. But what I didn't bring out was that that's a connection back to the married woman of Isaiah 54:1. The desolate woman is going to have more children than the married woman. And then verse 5 speaks to the married woman, that the married woman is the wife of the Creator. That tells us that the people who have reason to rejoice in Isaiah 54:1 are those outside of that Old Testament marriage. I think that marriage, that new marriage, is a new covenant marriage in which we are married to Christ. Christ as the head of the church, whereas you could say the Creator is head or husband of Israel. That leads us into verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, which I want to do all together today because they all flow as one thought. For a mere moment, I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. This text is speaking in the past tense. So it's God speaking to Israel of how he has treated them. But we can't get lost in past tense, thinking that because in prophetic language it says it in the past tense, that it has already happened. One of the reasons we can't is because our New Testament writers don't allow us to do that. When they quote Old Testament scriptures, they quote them as if, though written in past tense, they are played out in front of them. To me, the ultimate example of this is Psalms 22, that great Calvary chapter that Jesus sings on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you read through Psalms 22, it's past tense. Listen to Psalms 22, verse 16. Dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. That's past tense. They pierced. It's done. Yet, it's Jesus in the New Testament who has his hands and feet pierced. All of the scriptures that get quoted in the New Testament canon as referenced in Psalms 22 or Psalm 69 about the cross, they were written in the past tense. Therefore, they have happened in someone's revelation that's writing, say David in Psalms 22, but it's Jesus who becomes the object of it. So in Isaiah 54, you're dealing with a past tense sounding story. For a mere moment I've forsaken you, with great mercies I will gather you. with a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. Yet, this plays out in Israel post-cross. Following the Passion, Jesus appears to his disciples after resurrection. He ascends to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is poured out at Pentecost. And within one generation, just as Jesus said it would, the temple is surrounded by Roman armies. It is destroyed. Jerusalem is nearly raked to the ground. And over a million Jews experience what Jesus would call great tribulation. And he said in Luke 19, these are the days of vengeance. Vengeance is wrath. So in Isaiah 54, 8, with a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, I think, though past tense, just like the Psalms 22 past tense, this plays out post-cross for Israel. Notice Isaiah 53 is the cross, Isaiah 54 is post-cross. Post-cross, what plays out is wrath poured out on the people. But what that wrath is like, verse 9, is the waters of Noah. I swore those waters would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. So the anger poured out against the system of the Mosaic economy, where the temple falls and the sacrificial system is gone and the natural priesthood is gone. And I think, if you add that to Paul's theology, the performance-based favor and circumcision for blessing, all of it's gone. God's wrath poured out against it. It's gone. It's no longer an obstacle. And it's just like the waters of Noah, a one-time deal. This is why I say to you, God's not mad at you. Because the anger, I didn't say God is incapable of anger, but this idea that God is perpetually angry with me has been refuted by Isaiah 54. In its place, verse 8, everlasting kindness, I have mercy on you. Verse 10, my kindness shall not depart from you. My covenant of peace shall not be removed. So here's what you have in place of the wrath of God. Endless kindness and a covenant of peace that God cannot remove. Endless kindness and a covenant of peace that cannot be removed. I said it twice because I want you to soak in it. God is endlessly kind to you. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. In the ages to come, he will show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This kindness and this covenant of peace is going nowhere. It is yours. It is what you have. It is yours by inheritance. It is yours because Jesus has said it is yours. He is the Prince of Peace. Rest in that today. Tomorrow, we'll introduce the weekend sermon, and we have some stuff to talk about from Isaiah 55. It's going to be awesome. See you then. God bless.